We are still Podable, the best Celtics podcast out there. You can find us every single day on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/stillpodable. We have different tiers, but if you want that Celtics content every single day, you can find us there. It's a fun little community. We've got a nice chat that's on the Patreon app. We have a great time over there, so I highly recommend you guys go out and check it out. That's, again, patreon.com/stillpodable. Today we are on CLNS. We are presented by Prize Picks. This is the free version of Still Podable.
Jay-Z White in the catalog. The kids are legends, the gods.
That theme song really does never fail to make me smile. What a theme song. We are back with Still Podable. I'm Jay King from The Athletic, here with Brian Robb from MassLive.com. And today we have a special guest with us, Chris Forsberg, the NBC Sports Boston legend, coming to us from in front of his mini hoop, which is awesome.
That's all I do. Little hoop. Actually, we just bought a second mini hoop for the house because
needed a full court.
It would be nice if I put it on the other side here of the basement. But my daughter wanted one for her bedroom, and I wasn't going to tell her no. So she had an even minier hoop, but now we have two like kind of real hoops, kind of real mini hoops. Not as good as Jay's mini hoop, but step below. And then
mine's not. Hasn't been active in a while.
Wow.
Since I moved in with the wife.
You paid big money for that thing too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It will one day again be active. Just not right now. It's sitting waiting for me to put it up again.
Well, if you need a place to house it until then, I could put one on this side and then we'd have like
hot if you going. If you want another mini hoop, I've got one for you.
I leave in mini hoops for a house full of non-hoopers.
Anyway, we are coming to you the day after we're recording this, the day after the Celtics clinched the top seed in the NBA. They will have home court advantage throughout the finals. It's something that they actually seem to care about. Joe Mazzulla wanted to simulate the experience, I guess, of sort of a closeout, a series type situation, put the pressure on them to beat the Thunder. They did by quite a bit. No SGA, no Jalen Williams. I wouldn't read too far into it. However, it leaves us with some truly meaningless basketball for the rest of the season. And it's kind of been meaningless for a while now. It was pretty clear the Celtics were headed for the best seed in the Eastern Conference for home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs as long as they go. But now it's official. And so now is the time to discuss the final meaningless six games of the regular season. And we are going to do a draft of the most important things for this next six games. Now, it could be anything. It could be something you want to see. It could be something you expect to see. It could be a player you want to see. It could be anything. And Forsberg, we'll do the first pick.
All right.
Since you are the guest, and then we're going to do the snake draft. So you get one pick.
But then I don't get it again for a while.
I'll get two, and then it'll go back the other way.
All right. So I like selfishly, I got asked for clarification. Is Robert Williams making the trip on Sunday?
Of course.
Well, if that's important in your mind, then yes. Then that's
That's
to be right.
This could determine if I break out of the studio or not to see the – I assume there's going to be some sort of acknowledgement.
I think he has been traveling with the team.
Yeah, so I wonder if we'll get a little video. Like, if of all things that could actually make me intrigued about a Celtics game over the next six games, and there are very few things in this draft that will do it. Yeah, I want to see if they give Rob. It doesn't have to be over the top. It doesn't have to be more than a thank you, Rob, and all that. But I do think they've done a great job acknowledging the people that sort of helped get them to this position. And if nothing else, it'd be a cool moment, right? Like, maybe not as cool as the Gorman moment, but selfishly, I have to stay on brand. And so to start this draft, I am saying, even just Robert Williams standing on the sideline to watch maybe a still graphic or maybe like 30 seconds of highlights would be like super intriguing to me.
That's all you need is just Robert Williams standing there watching himself on the Jumbotron.
That's all I want. I mean, if he wants to like talk to you guys and discuss the process, like he's been the only dude who hasn't talked, right? Has anyone gotten Malcolm?
Malcolm was not in the locker room when the Celtics played the Portland Trailblazers.
I'm looking forward to his video, though.
Neither was Robert Williams. So they don't play the Blazers often. So you don't get many chances to run into these guys. Grant Williams, it seems like he's done like 19 interviews with Boston writers since he left. That's probably part of Grant's personality and part of him getting traded and kind of becoming a part of the storyline. But yeah, I respect your commitment to the Robert Williams craft.
I mean, like there's probably five more things important, but I like,
would they also have to acknowledge Malcolm Brogdon or no?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's probably more spicy than I'd say no. Are we acknowledging guys that were part of one season and bounced in the ECF with an arm injury?
And then got mad over the summer.
We got big mad. So I think because he was sixth man of the year, maybe there'll be if Rob gets a 30-second video and then maybe there's like a still graphic of Malcolm in the sixth man award.
Has there been an apology video before? Like, sorry, we tried to trade you that first and then you have to wait a few months.
Thanks for throwing a wrench into our summer, but it kind of worked out. So
us the push at the door we needed.
We tried to trade you and it kind of sucked that we had to then say we didn't want to trade you, but then it was actually awesome because we were able to get Drew Holiday. So thank you. That's actually the graphic they're going to run on the Jumbotron.
It is kind of crazy to think about how different the Celtics would be if Drew Holiday hadn't popped free. And it's just kind of just a huge what if, because obviously they were ready to go into the regular season with Malcolm Brogdon, with Robert Williams, and it would have been a totally different team. And I think Kristaps Porzingis would have elevated them anyway, but Drew Holiday's maturity, Drew Holiday's competitiveness, Drew Holiday's defense, especially after losing Marcus Smart, has all been enormous. And the closing lineup and the starting lineup, but the closing lineup, because I don't think Malcolm Brogdon would have started, the closing lineup with Drew Holiday is just infinitely better than it would have been with Malcolm Brogdon, because Malcolm, for as good as he was in Boston, his skills did not connect with everybody else's the way that Drew Holiday's do. And his defense just wasn't even on the same planet. So it's another opportunity when they do play the Blazers. It's just another opportunity for the Celtics to not just thank Malcolm Brogdon for his year, but also to thank the Milwaukee Bucks for trading Drew Holiday and popping him free like a week before training camp started.
Facts.
Wild times. All right, let's take a break here to hear from our sponsor, Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and the most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. March may be over now, but the biggest moments in college basketball tip off this month at the Final Four. Be a part of it. All the action on Prize Picks for both men and women's college basketball. coming up this weekend. And you can also get in on the NBA playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level. The basketball's postseason. The playoffs begin, obviously, in 2 weeks, but you can get in the play-in round starting on April 16th at Prize Picks. So I know on the final couple weeks of the regular season here, one area to keep an eye on Prize Picks will be certainly with the Celtics and some of their bench players. I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities there for the likes of Payton Pritchard, Sam Hauser of the world, while the starters rest up. So keep an eye on that. So if you want to check out Prize Picks, you can download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's CLNS on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100 on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy on Prize Picks. And now back to the show. All right, I'm up next here. As I see everybody. So this is a little bit off the board here, but I'm thinking about, again, the guys that are going to be playing in the next 2 weeks here. And a guy you want to see more of on the floor, but actually I don't think they should be playing much, is Xavier Tillman. Because I tell you what, this knee situation for him does not look great. And because when it seems like whenever he plays two or three games, he has to sit out a few games. So at this point, do you just send him to like get a shot in Germany? Like what's this? I don't know what the situation for him is over the next 2 weeks here, but I do think he could be very relevant for this team in a spot here or there in the playoffs if someone gets hurt or in the right series. But as far as guys you want to make sure stay healthy out of the beyond the obvious ones, I think he's a pretty important one in the wrist. So I think getting him a little bit of action, but not too much, as the, you know, the end of the bench guys probably couple up a lot of bench minutes here in the next couple weeks.
This is how you know we've truly reached the irrelevant point of the season.
Yes.
When B Rob is voting for Xavier Tillman to get put in bubble.
You need Xavier Tillman to get the right. He's too important.
Xavier Tillman. Don't even consider it. Just sit him.
Everyone on ice. Porzingis, Horford, Tillman.
Jordan Walsh could have a
Jordan Walsh for you.
Ice him.
can't play in the G League playoffs. Could be the emergency body they need. I mean, so do you think the knee is impacting Tillman? Like, I don't think he's looked as good as he did at the start.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, it just seems like when he plays two or three games in a week, period, like, he just, like, the swelling comes up again. This is something they, when they trade for him, he sat out, whatever, like a month before he even debuted at this point. So it's like, all right, he's clearly a break in case of emergency type guy for the playoffs. But at this point, it's like, he's probably as, you know, the least durable guy in the roster right now. And that's saying a lot given that some of the players in this roster, but given your depth in the front court, he's still pretty important. So I think that like being extra careful of him in these next 2 weeks and just not putting, you know,
I'm going to battle back at that last point a little bit. You said, given the depth in the front court, where is there a lack of depth in the front court? Why
the Cornette slander, B Rob?
There's no Cornette slander here. I'm just talking about guys that are realistically going to play. And I'm talking about guys who could play against Embiid or Jokic. Like any other series, you're just going to go smaller. And if someone gets hurt, I think that's like the default play. Like, you're not going to play Cornette. You're not going to play Tillman. There are situations where you could use 10 minutes for Tillman here or there if someone gets hurt or foul trouble. I'm a big Luke Cornette guy. I just don't see the situation after the first two rounds where he becomes relevant.
Or even to take something off Kristaps Porzingis' plate and keep him fresher, sure. Right? Yep. Like, save him from some of the tougher matchups, save him from some of the physicality, and use Tillman to spell Al Horford on an Embiid. You could even use Tillman against Giannis, I think. You could use him against... I mean, there are a number of guys his defense would be useful against because he's just really good on that end. So, yeah, I'm giving you a little shit.
You guys did it last night, Jay. I feel like was that a playoff rotation preview on Wednesday night there?
It felt like it. It felt like it, where it was just Al as the backup big. They shrank it to eight players. I think that's what Joe's going to go with during the playoffs. I think he's going to try to stick with the guys who made them as good as they have been. and not cut into the rotation as much, and not eliminate one of Hauser or Pritchard, which they probably could do. But I think especially early in the playoffs, it makes sense to keep those guys in, play those guys legitimate minutes, and try to keep everybody else as fresh as possible. Because we saw what happened when Jason Tatum had to play 41, 42 minutes a game for a long series. He ran out of gas in the finals. And I think he's in a different place now. The team is in a different place now. He hasn't played as many minutes this season. They've been able to put themselves in this position where they can rest guys down the stretch. So it's not the same. But I do think the longer you can get away with giving Pritchard, Hauser legitimate minutes in the playoffs, that would be great to just keep everybody fresh for later on.
And one of the sneaky reasons I like that Joe schemed up the whole, like, oh, let's, and I don't love the, you know, we're working on this, but at least you're getting guys some scenarios by which they might have to.
Why don't you love that?
So I don't know. Like, I feel like you should just be at this point of the season. Should you be working on 1-5 switching? Like, shouldn't you have kind of cracked it at some point? Not game 72 or whatever it was. You don't think they've done it in practice? Like, I felt like it rang a little bit like, oh, we were practicing, that's why we lost the game. I think you can practice all you want, but win the game. That's just sort of my...
As in protecting Porzingis, I think that would, like... I agree with you, Chris, and that was just, like, him, I think, trying to do that publicly, but...
Don't you think that's probably Joe's mentality, too, though? Where he's like, we're gonna do whatever it takes to win, but we're also going to try to sure. win differently? I feel like he probably views it similarly to the way you do. And it probably ate him up at night that he went to that and DeJounte right. Murray scored as much as he did. And it ended up hurting the Celtics on that given night. Like, yeah. I don't think he slept well that night. He was probably like, man, I shouldn't have fucking done that. I should have fucking got us this win. We could be 61-15 right now, motherfuckers. So...
But what I do like about last night was that's a scenario that they have genuinely not been good at closing out series. I think 9 of their last 11 series have gone 6 or 7 games, only 2 first round series. So to your point about preserving guys, like, get a series over in 5 games. Like, now you don't have to mess around with it anymore. And so, yeah, I like the more you can preserve these guys, the better.
Yeah. And I think last night was the win against the Thunder. Was another example of just how bought in the players are to Joe Mazzulla. Because in a lot of situations, if the coach is like, yeah, we're treating this like a closeout game, it's like, fuck you, coach. You know? We're 59-16. We're going to be the one seed. Like, who cares? But Joe pushed the buttons, and the players took it seriously. You could tell they took it seriously because the fourth quarter, Al Horford said, you know, we looked at each other in the huddle and we decided we're going to come out of this timeout after they'd already forced him to call a timeout with, I think it was a 13-0 run. He's like, we're going to come out and extend this even further. And then they went on another huge run and forced another timeout by Mark Daigneault. So they took the game seriously. I think Joe's been really good about keeping everybody motivated when they don't necessarily need to have motivation. And I don't know how critical that is to building a champion. Like, last year, Denver absolutely slept through March to the point where Michael Malone was just furious with his team, like going into press conferences, lighting them up. And they went on to flip the switch and win a title pretty handily. But I do think the mentality and the mindset of this team is very much in Joe's likeness, and the way that he's pushed the buttons has done a really good job. I'll get to my pick now.
Ooh.
Will Peyton Pritchard score 50 points?
Challenged by Malachi Flynn. He has 24 hours to respond.
The gauntlet has been set.
Childhood rival Malachi Flynn, fellow Oregonian. I really think Pritchard, and last year he was given the reins in the final regular season game. He had 30 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds against the Atlanta Hawks, just a monster triple-double. He's better now. He's going to have more games now, probably with free reign. And now he's got the Malachi Flynn thing pushing him too. Peyton Pritchard, because of his crazy competitiveness, his wild edge, his drive to just play at breakneck speed no matter what type of situation it is, he's built to have big performances at the end of the season when teams are playing goofy lineups. I think Peyton Pritchard is – he may not have 50, probably will not have 50, but he is going to have at least one absolutely monster game over these final six.
Portland, right? It's got to be Sunday.
Just tortures Malcolm Brogdon.
for being the roadblock to playing time last season and making him exactly. miserable.
You know in his head, he's like, I was better than him the whole time.
And the whole, playing as kind of his hometown team. Like, this is all setting up. I think Sunday's the big night.
Yeah. I really think Pritchard is going to have just at least one enormous night. And he's been – his assists lately have just been out of control. For a guy who never really was in charge of the offense before, they're letting him do it more and more often. He's probing. He's finding guys. He's creating open three-point attempts for everybody, including Sam Hauser. And he could score that thing. I actually think he's going to have just a mind-boggling line in one of these games.
Is he good enough now where he gets like the last day of the regular season off?
Ooh.
Has he played it to that point where I know he'll want to play regardless, but has he gotten to that point now for this team where it's
I
like
don't
actually...
think so because he just doesn't have the minutes load. It's not that he's not important. It's just like he doesn't have such a strenuous load that giving him a night off will be necessary. Plus, he'll have the week of the play-in tournament. So I think he might just start and dust people.
Good point.
All right.
My second pick. Coming back.
Man.
Let's go. I need to see Jordan Walsh. I need to see Jordan Walsh. He probably won't get a ton of time. I can't imagine they'll have more than one or two games at the most where they're actually just playing everybody. But Jordan Walsh is one of the last like unexplored storylines for this team because he's just a developing pick who's been out of sight literally most of the season in Portland, Maine. And I actually think he has a chance to be a great defender, like legitimately great defender, who could complement the best players on the Celtics pretty well, especially if he can figure out the three-point shooting piece. So I'm high on Jordan Walsh. I'm high on what he can be, and I want to see him get a chance to play a little bit when he's more comfortable, because when he's coming in for 2-3 minutes and he's got the nerves of playing in an NBA game and all that, but when you know you're going to play some decent minutes, it's a totally different feeling. And so I want to see Jordan Walsh. I want to see what he can do, what he will do with a little bit of a chance.
Man, Svi Mihailuk rides the pine all year, and you're gonna dust him so that Jordan Walsh can get playing time.
Yes, I am. Exactly right.
But I'm the same way. Like you always, we can call it backup quarterback syndrome. You always wonder with the guys we don't see a lot, like what they can do. And I do think Jordan's going to be pretty important moving forward, because if you're going to pay all these dudes, if you're bringing back this core, you need some cheap talent. And he's got he's the one of the easier pathways to keeping that. And so I think he'll get a little momentum too. You'll have him going through the G League playoffs starting tonight. And then, you know, however long that run goes, now you bring him in to Boston and turn him loose for a couple games. But I just worry if Joe's giving him DNPs on his birthday against his hometown team, like, I don't know how much I feel like they're going to reward Svi and O'Shea and everybody, but I hope we get some Jordan Walsh along the way.
But
yeah, the beauty made it.
I feel like there have been years when like RJ Hunter plays 35 or 40 minutes in the final game. Just feel like there's room for at least one Jordan Walsh game.
especially with six to go. They got to find one in there.
It's got to be, I'd assume two, because even, I mean, unless they go deep in the G League playoffs here, they have that back-to-back, like New York, Charlotte, that's guaranteed rests for the regulars. Maybe they'll split that up there. And then last game of the season, they're definitely, no one's playing more than a half. That matters in that game. It'll be fun. The crowd freaking loves him. Like when he's gotten minutes at the Garden, it's been nuts just how like
he really they are is for him. A well loved guy. He but just taking... shows up like once a month, and the crowd goes crazy, begging him to score.
Dunk it.
Then he heads back to Portland.
Like Blake's not there anymore, and he's getting the Blake. Like it's getting transferred to Jordan Walsh.
It's funny how the crowd just kind of picks one guy. And Blake made sense. Like he was super accomplished dude. I guess Jordan Walsh makes sense too. He's a pick with upside who everyone wants to latch on to and wants to believe in. But nobody would ever touch Taco.
What if they sign a 15th guy that's even more endearing and the fans want to see him over the last few games?
He's going to play all 48 minutes on that Sunday. Sign
Taco?
What do you do? Like, there's no shortage of options you could do to bring a little spice to that 15th spot. I don't know. I shouldn't talk. Maybe that's B-Rob's next pick.
You steal my pick. No, it's wild though. I feel like every single player who's been signed in the last month has just been former Celtics of that ilk. Like whether it's Isaiah, like Mook, Javonte Green, like all the
everyone. Tatum's got to be seething.
I know, seriously. Like, come on, if Javonte Green's giving the Bulls good minutes, Tatum's probably banging the tail, being like, "Come on, guys, come on, Brad."
Javonte Green revenge game in the after coming out of the play-in tournament. Like,
look out! Look out for that. All right. We have a very important statistical race here heading into the last couple weeks of the season. The 3-point attempts per 36 minutes. Sam Hauser is at 9.5. Svi is at 9.6.
Ooh.
And Svi has, this is his chance. He's going to get a lot of run in the last 2 weeks here. A lot of chance to get the threes up. And can he take this throne? Can he run away from Sam Hauser? Or is Sam Hauser going to have, he's going to be out there for a lot of these games too? Or are they just going to go neck and neck? Like I'm just, how many threes those guys can get up in these games is must-see TV for me.
I actually feel like extra minutes could be hurtful for Svi in this one particular quest, because as soon as he gets on the court, he is instantly firing up his first shot. And then he seems to become a little bit more patient the longer he stays on the court. So I think if he plays 25, 30 minutes, it could go against him in this race. I love this race, though. This was a good one you picked. Because
when you started teeing this up, this is not where I thought it was going. But I love this way more than anything else. I think the other one that I've kind of like, we get our stats package before games, Dick Light. The broadcast legend now. He has one. I think he keeps putting up there about who has the furthest shot distance in the NBA. And Sam Merrill is like 0.1 ahead of Sam for most of the season. So Sam needs to jack up some like 30 footers along the way here and get the among qualifiers. So
Sam Merrill is 0.1 ahead of Sam Hauser.
I believe so.
That's a close race. Sam Merrill, I was looking at his stats for some random reason today. And
today?
You're a sicko. Today?
Hey. He takes 12 three-point attempts per 36 minutes and hits five of them. He makes five threes per 36 minutes. That is just insane.
He's not playing enough for them.
Svi Mihailuk says challenge accepted.
If Svi gets up 12 per 36 the rest of the way, it's going to be a fun final six games for the Celtics. Let's be honest here. This was a great pick.
That it really was.
And Hauser's just been sort of on a heater lately. He never seems to miss. So
there's the kiss.
He's got to get him up. He's got to get him up now. The race is on.
Hauser versus Svi.
Hauser versus Svi.
We always knew it would come down to this. for is this my last pick?
Yeah, this is your last pick. Yeah, you're closing
this out. This is the final pick.
It would also be a disservice if I did not say that the most important thing over the final six games is Mike Gorman being celebrated on our network for his 40 plus years of being the best in the business. And that final game, I believe it is the night we get to celebrate him at TD Garden. I just, you know, I cannot overstate what growing up here, what Mike means to us. And we'll get really sappy over the final, you know, week here. I will remind everybody he gets to call the first round. Now, we don't know how many games we'll lose to national exclusives, but you will hear Mike pass those final six games.
Is he doing the road for those, Forsberg?
You know what? I don't want to talk out of turn here. I believe there is a chance, depending on where it is, that he will be doing those. And also, great. Again, you know, based on what the national exclusives ends up being. Like, we're losing that TNT game, I believe, against Milwaukee on Tuesday. So I think we have five Gorman games left in the regular season and as many as, you know, whatever we get here in the postseason. But savor it. You know, like I felt like it was never gonna come. I just was like, oh yeah, like this season's just gonna go forever. But I do hope the Celtics have plenty of motivation to get that banner and everything. But selfishly, if there's one subplot that I'd really like them to win it all, it's to send Mike out the right way, make it a little bit easier to ride off into the sunset when you get that one last one that he's been, you know, kind of hoping for. And yeah. We could have. When I thought Miro was going with the stats,
what have you learned about Mike? Just working with him over these last few years.
So I'll probably tell this story 500 times over the next couple of weeks, but hopefully I don't get a lawsuit from ESPN from it. So I, as someone who grew up like admiring Mike, like just meeting Mike was a moment for me, and he could not have been kinder. And like nothing's changed in that regard. Like I'm still like super nervous when I see him because it's Mike Gorman. And he's just like the epitome of cool. He's only getting cooler somehow as he gets older. I don't understand how that works. And he used to tell me back in like, you know, middle of my ESPN days, he'd be like, you know, it's going to be great when we work together someday. And I was like, yeah, cool story. Like, I'm thinking like, there's no chance I ever end up over there or whatever. And then, you know, 2019 happens and I land on that roster and my first night I'm sitting there next to Tommy and Tommy's staring a hole through me like, who is this kid? And, you know, then get to work with Mike on various projects. And it's, you know, it's just everything you expect it to be. I guess the only thing I don't want him to go away. I think I haven't told him this. But like even when he rides off into the sunset, I'm going to still try and get him on the podcast and keep him part of this because he can't just disappear completely. We need that voice along the way. It won't be the same. But yeah, I think, you know, in the pandemic when we were kind of struggling for content, I got to do a lot with him and Mike and Tommy and with Mike and Tommy. And it was just, you know, those are moments in my career that I didn't think I'd have the opportunity to do. And, you know, for a little kid who sat on the ground watching Mike and Tommy and learning about basketball, it's been every bit is of an enjoyable experience, and I'm gonna miss it. Yeah, I'm just like it's gonna suck not to have him here, and that's no disrespect to what's next and all that, but yeah, it's just a legend, right? Like you guys have been around him. Just Gush is cool.
He's an institution in itself. Like it's one of a kind. There'll probably never be another one. Like I mean, we've been very spoiled in Boston, I think, with play-by-play announcers over the years across all sports. But I do think like Gorman's just at like a different level, just for how good he's been and how long he's been there.
And this is gonna, maybe I'm not gonna put this right, but on top of his skill as just a play-by-play announcer, I think it's his demeanor that kind of made him feel like a family member to a lot of people. Like growing up, it was like, man, I really feel like I know that guy. I really like that guy. Even though you just heard him talking about basketball, it was like his good spirit, his good nature comes across and is part of what makes him great. And then you meet him and he's just that guy, like just just really, really genuine, really good natured, and really kind. And I really do think that's part of what's made him as good as he is at his job, is just he has a great heart.
You know, what's funny you say that is because now when I'm around him, I notice this, is that people come up and, you know, you're just trying to be nice and introduce yourself and be like, hey, I'm Joe. But there is that you almost feel like you know him. He doesn't know you, right? Like, but every person who goes up to him is just sort of, they have this multiple year connection with him. And I always think it's got to be a little bit weird, you know, like, you feel like this is a family member, and he's sort of like, oh, you know, nice to meet you. But he's always super kind about it. He always, like, you know, embraces those people. I think he's still, to this day, after doing it this long, is just like really, you know, humble about his place here. And I'm really glad that, you know, he gets the moment. And I know he's joked about he hasn't loved how you have to go through, no, when you announce you're going away, everywhere you go, it's sort of a thing, and he's got to talk about it. But I'm glad that he's getting the moment of everyone getting to celebrate him. And I don't know fully what the team has prepared or whatnot, but I know I'm ready to revel in it all.
You're ready to weep from the sound of it as well.
Yeah, you know, like,
there's gonna be some waterworks from Ford.
It's weird. It's weird. I don't get emotional about a lot of this stuff, but it's Mike, man. It's Mike.
Well, Forsberg wins the draft with that pick.
Yeah.
That was a runaway winner. He should have gone
way sooner.
Pocketed that. Didn't want to come out of the gates with it. Then bam.
And it's funny because Packard prides himself on being undefeated in these six-pack drafts.
Which is why he's not here.
He's the one who evaluates them. No, he's not here because he's still ducking you.
Of course.
I'm going to try to calm at you right now to see if he to make an appearance here. But
I'll go like this, and then you bring him in, and I'll be like, ah, and then he'll, you know.
Because this is ridiculous. I mean, this is, what, you've been on four times now, Forsberg? This has been just ridiculous.
Kind of incredible.
Utterly ridiculous. Guy will.
But yeah, you'll be the first one to take him down here. Sam, did you forget that we have a podcast right now of Chris Forsberg?
Yeah. Someone's got the belt now, baby.
You just lost a six pack to Forsberg.
I'll let the voters decide, you know. Results come in, I end up the winner, so we'll let Forsberg have his little fun pretending he won.
I this feels like you're going to use the excuse of the you know, like wrestling, where they're like, well, this was a non-title match because the champion was not part of the fatal three-way. And but I think the fans will know. The fans will understand. Even if Packard was here, we could actually, what I think you guys should do for your next episode before he listens to this, because he's not going to go back and listen, is make him pick two things about the final six games. And then we'll let the fans decide.
He hung up. He was just so disgusted. He had to go. The rivalry continues.
That is the best possible outcome.
Amazing.
I will not cry. I will not cry when Jim retires.
that's one way to end the show. Forsberg, thanks for coming on. Congrats on your big victory. I know this is one of the most meaningful wins you've ever had.
Thank you.
And yeah, I'm just ashamed that I didn't pick Mike's goodbye. Yeah, just with the first pick, just really,
I left it there for you guys.
Yeah,
tried to slow play you with Rob, and
really fucking bad. Yeah, you picked Rob. It was a bad pick, and then you totally redeemed yourself, and then. All right, we'll see you guys, the kids, the gods, and the legends. We'll be back Monday through Friday of next week, as we always are. We appreciate you. We love you. And we'll see you soon. Still particle, still particle, still oxygen, still particle.